Reading from the Srimad Bhagavatam, canto, chapter 11, text 24. Raja margam gate krishne varakaya kulasya amyam yahu vidya adikshanamaha. I know someone's kind of just here with their phone. I bet somebody needs you to leave their phone to do something. I know someone is making noise on the phone. It's not coming from this side, and it causes this glass. When Lord Krishna passed over the public roads, all the ladies from the respectable families of Dwarka went up to the roofs of their palace just to have a look at the Lord. They considered this to be the greatest festival, Purport. To have a look at the Lord is a great festive occasion, undoubtedly, as it was considered by the metropolitan ladies of Dwarka. This is still followed by the devout ladies of India. Especially during the days of the Julan and Janmashtami ceremonies, the ladies of India still thronged up in the greatest number at the temple of the Lord, where his transcendental eternal form is worshipped. The transcendental form of the Lord installed in the temple is not different from the Lord personally. Such a form of the Lord is called Archa Vigraha, or Archa Incarnation. It is expanded by the Lord, by his internal potency, just to facilitate the devotional service of his innumerable devotees who are in the material world. Material senses cannot perceive the spiritual nature of the Lord, and therefore the Lord accepts the Archa Vigraha, which is apparently made of material elements like earth, wood, and stone. But actually, there is no material contamination. Someone is still playing with their phone. You have to mute it. Let me look what Debbie says about muting the phone, because someone is just... I think it's difficult to just try. Okay, we'll try again. I guess that's Om Jnana Samarandasya Gananjana Shalakaya Shakshu Nirtam Yena Taitmai Sri Gurave Namaha Pancha Kaupa Puri Vyasya Kutashindu Vaye Vaja Kutipanam Pavanevyo Vaishnavevyo Namo Namaha Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadha Vivasa Devor Bhaktavinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare. Anyway, greetings from Govardhan. I don't even have that much time today because for this class, it conflicts with something because the time moved up. It conflicts with some other programs. I have to leave a little bit earlier, and I don't. don't think that'll be the case next week. But let's get something, because all you have come to... Anyway, it's Bhishma Panchaka. It's the last 5 days of Govardhan, Kartikeya. Kartikeya is such an important spiritual practice, especially in the Holy Dham, where our desire is for bhakti. It's a bargain. Boy, this is really... What's that? Okay. All right. It's still someone else is just doing something. It's kind of...
Are the baby intercoms hooked up to phones?
Oh.
That's what
that could be.
That's exactly what it sounds like.
A baby intercom is hooked up to the phone. So if anybody has a baby here, check that too. Anyway, you know, we've been doing this for 3 years, and by Krishna's grace, you know, relatively, I've missed very, very few classes, and we've had very, very few technical disturbances to this magnitude. What I appreciate is I can feel the eagerness to hear. And that's a very, very good sign, because in all the Bhagavatam, the main qualification for advancing in spiritual life is the eagerness to hear. So if you're disturbed by this, it's a good sign. Because we know even Prabhupada was marked by his guru when they introduced him. Because Prabhupada wasn't a very prominent person within the Gaudiya Math at that time. Bhakti Siddhanta still said, noted that I've marked him, he likes to hear. And this is bhakti. And it comes from hearing. Bhakti Sanjayate Bhakti. But your bhakti is your eagerness and desire to hear. Every evening here in the Bhaktivedanta Ashram here where I'm staying now, actually twice a day the Vaishnavas get together just to chant and hear from 12:30 to 2 before lunch here, and from 4:30 to 7. And generally at least between 8 and 15 Vaishnavas, mostly senior Vaishnavas, get together here, and the inspiration for it is Vaisheshika Prabhu, who has such a keen desire to hear. He just loves to hear, and that's an advanced devotee of Krishna, one who likes to hear. The sages at Namasharanya, their qualification was their eagerness to hear. So at least I'm experiencing this, and I'm also eager to speak here. So that's hopefully some good sign for me. Just a little bit about the last 5 days of Kartikeya. My class is a little personal, so I tell you about my life. It was a tough Kartikeya because I moved 3 times, and also my books came, and people are taking them like anything. People are coming to my door all day long. Plus, there's 4,000 people next door. They left yesterday, and they're appreciating this book, and Shopping Meditations, I can't wait to get it to all of you. And it's the last 5 days of Kartikeya, so I thought at least let me concentrate on the last 5 days of Kartikeya. So my plan is to go around Govardhan every day, half one day and half the next day, and not to rush because it's hard to chant. Last time I went, I made half in under 2 hours, but you really get exhausted. I took a leisurely walk, getting up in the morning, chanting for a while, and then about 7 o'clock, just leisurely walking, and depending on Giriraj and praying to Giriraj's mercy. I was on the Bikram path, and it was very interesting because I saw this one devotee. His name is Giridhara. He lives in Vrindavan, but he stays in Radhakund for a month. I saw him walking, and I had one or two of my books on me, and I said to him, do me a favor. Could you give this to Mahanidhi Swami? And then he said, well, look, he's right behind you. And there was Mahanidhi Swami at a Prikram party, and I paid my obeisances and gave him the book. That was nice. And then there's the, what's it called? I forgot what Gaudiya Math it is, but it's a big Gaudiya Math. And that's Narayamarja's Gaudiya Math. He's there for his Prikram party. And a lot of my godbrothers are there, too. So I stopped there. And I stopped in, and I went to see Narayanmarj, and offered respects. He greeted me affectionately as an old friend. So that was also nice. And then I got back here for. It's Gaurakishore Das Babaji's disappearance day today. Amo Gaurakishoraya Sakshad Vairagya Murtaye Vipralambaratam Bore Padambu Jaya Te Namaha. And Sakshad Vairagya, he's the embodiment of renunciation. But renunciation for a Vaishnava is not just Vairagya. Vairagya means that you're focused on the objects of the senses, or you're meditating to Vairagya without attachment. It's very much from the platform of Jnana, or from the platform of intelligence, that you strongly understand that this is not good for you, and you renounce something. But the renunciation. Sakshad Vairagya Murtiye, the renunciation of bhakti is a little bit different. Your heart is so filled with happiness and devotion that there's no thought or conception of anything else. You don't have to practice Vairagya necessarily. It automatically comes from the fullness of heart. Our senses are searching. What are they searching? They're searching for satisfaction. They're just misdirected. And they're searching for satisfaction because there's an internal feeling of lack or want. But that internal feeling of lack or want is due to a lack of love or devotion. So it's very nice. It was Gaurakishore Das Babaji's, and they had a little Pushpanjali. And when I went up there, very happy to see that. I didn't expect to see him here because I never thought he would be Bhuvaneshwar and Arisa again, but Dr. Fakir Mohan, I wrote about him, a very elderly and very, very humble and saintly Vaishnava, even though he's in his 80s and is a Naishtika Brahmachari, lifelong celibate, very educated. He was chairman of the Department of Sanskrit at Utkal University, the main university in Orissa. And a very, very learned and advanced Vaishnava in so way. It's so nice that he treats everyone as superior there. And he pays obeisances to every person with such great respect. And I have a very, very sweet and close relationship with him. He was very happy to see me, and it was so nice. And he's actually staying in the place that I usually stay in Parthasarathy's. And, you know, he's old, but he has no assistant, even though he had 6 or 7 heart attacks. But even when he had a heart attack, and he was completely unconscious, he was still automatically chanting. From practicing his whole life as second habit. And I talked with him. He's just finished his DLit. That's above PhD. on the history of Gaudiya Vaishnavism in Orissa. And he said that in his research, although Lord Chaitanya's family came from East Bengal, Bangladesh, the ancestors of Lord Chaitanya, he said, in his research, actually came from Orissa. And he's telling me other things. He said one of his friends had did some research, and I said, you really have to send me this. He said that there was actually a person did a small Rath Yatra in the early 1900s with Jagannath and Jesus Christ.
Oh.
And the person claimed, the person in the, you know, in the research of that person who did it, I said, you got to send me this article. The person claimed that, you know, Jesus, you know, he said that Jesus is a friend of Jagannath, you know, or something like that. Anyway, it was just interesting to talk to him, and now I guess we can say a little bit about the verse, and I really don't have time, but, we have this Krishna coming into Dwarka, and we're being introduced to the perfectional stage of life, which is rasa, which is perfected love. And we see, therefore, the relationships of Krishna and his devotees. And now he's passing Rajamargam on the public roads in the city of Dwarka, which is very beautiful and opulent. There's big palaces, etc., and there's prosperity in the city. And what are they doing? Frying pakoras now? You really have to be tolerant, actually. I'm getting it from all sides. There's speakers here. Anyway, there's prosperity, natural prosperity, real wealth. I think, you know, when the whole country crashes economically, the people who will be best off are the Amish, because they invested in real wealth. They just keep on buying more and more land. And that type of life is insulated from all the fears and anxieties that us modern dwellers have. There's prosperity, and prosperity is reciprocation from God. Rains come or they don't come. If they come, everything's lush and there's so much food. If they don't come, then people starve. And who controls the rain? It's controlled ultimately by God. So the prosperity is coming from there, so we see that in the crowd. But the most important thing is the real opulence is God and the vision and darshan of God. And when he comes, the ladies of Dwarka, they're from respectable families, therefore, that, as Prabhupada says later in the purport, they're not mixing unrestrictedly, and their respectability is preserved, Prabhupada said, very, very elegantly. And these respectable ladies, therefore they're not going out into the street, but they're going on to the roofs. And there is Mahotsava, Padikshana. The festival is to look upon Krishna. And what does festival mean? It means great enthusiasm, Mahotsava. You're greatly enthusiastic, and therefore, because you're greatly enthusiastic, you want to have celebration, to express that enthusiasm. Festival means an expression of love. If there's a wedding, there's love for the bride and the bridegroom, and therefore there's a festival. There's some celebration. So in the spiritual world, I explained this many times, that there's always great enthusiasm, and therefore there's always reason for festival. Therefore, it says in the spiritual world, every song, Every speech is a song. Every walking is a dance. It's festival. And they're seeing the eyes, the beauty of Krishna. And they want to celebrate. It's a very interesting concept, celebration. It means something is great has happened, and you want to honor it. And that love, is expressed in music and food and dance and so many. So that festival is just so dynamic and relishable, just seeing Krishna. Actually the cowherd boys, I explained that in a very nice spiritual world is kirtan. It's glorification. This glorification is actually the main expression of love. And kirtan is technically kirtan is not just music. It's Krishna Katha is also kirtan. Love is expressed through kirtan. In the spiritual world, it's kirtan. The residents of Vrindavan have kirtan. And we are in the path of Rag Marg. And the path of Rag Marg means that your devotional practices are guided not so much out of duty because it is a rule, but it's guided out of your natural enthusiasm to serve Krishna. And when that natural enthusiasm comes to the point where you desire to serve Krishna in relationship, because ultimately, service means love, and love means relationship. So your desire to serve Krishna becomes so intense that by Krishna's mercy, he bestows upon you the greatest mystery of your relationship with him. So, thoughts are being lost here. I'll get them back in a second. Sorry. A little distraction today. So that relationship. And, well, anyway, we'll get back to, so I was talking about kirtan. Anyway, so Rag Marg means that you're following the exemplar of the way in which you want to serve Krishna. And that becomes revealed to you. And your practices become guided by what they do in that relationship. And that's called Raghunuga Bhakti. But we can also bring it down to a very simple understanding that the same activities of devotion are in the spiritual world. The difference is they are the result of bhakti. In other words, the kirtan becomes the result of your devotion. But here, kirtan is the means to get that devotion. So here, kirtan is our sadhana. It's our practice. We're doing kirtan to please Krishna, but also to become purified to achieve love of Krishna. But in the spiritual, the same activity is there, but it's a result of love. So, kirtan is always there in the spiritual world. And kirtan is there in Vrindavan. And if we want to follow the residents of Vrindavan, we should want to do kirtan. So, many places, it's all kirtan in the spiritual world. And when the cowherd boys are singing for Krishna's pleasure, this is one meditation on chanting the Hare Krishna mantra. I was looking at my japa meditation book. And one meaning or understanding of the Maha Mantra is that it's devotional service to Radha and Krishna. And why is it devotional service to Radha and Krishna? Because Radha likes to hear Krishna's name, and Krishna likes to hear Radha's name. So it's done out of great devotion. So the cowherd boys, they chant because Krishna likes to hear kirtan. So they chant it for Krishna's pleasure. And therefore, when you do something for someone's pleasure, you try to do it as nicely as possible. And therefore, in the spiritual world, when someone wants to sing for Krishna's pleasure, he is empowered to sing very melodiously and very, very rhythmically and very, very sweetly. Supremely sweetly, supremely melodious. So the kirtan there is described in such a nice way. And the kirtan has two aspects. One, it is done with deep emotion from the heart. It's a product. It's born from the heart. The singing is born from the heart. Not that you're just memorizing things, but automatically it comes. And this is our understanding. Our understanding ultimately of music and song is that it's a manifestation of the natural rag or attachment that the resonance of Krishna has. The residents of Vrindavan have for Krishna. And therefore they have such a strong desire to please Krishna that their music and their dance is very, very wonderful and beautiful. But it's not just the professional beauty. It's the beauty of the creation inspired by love. That's why I think church buildings sometimes are the most beautiful buildings. The Notre Dame Cathedral and beautiful temples in South India, because they are a manifestation of love. And when love is the force, the one most wonderful things can be done. Of course, in that love of Godhead is the natural dharma, the nature of the soul of the living entity. And the second thing about the kirtan, and that will relate to today's verse, the second thing about the kirtan is that it's appropriate. And when the commentators, when the acharyas comment on appropriate, they give that very beautiful example. I guess those of you hearing many times have heard me give it because it's so beautiful. But just Krishna's dhoti is blowing in the wind. It caresses his tribhunga form. And just that slight movement of the dhoti and the revelation of Krishna's form is filled with such celebration, such enthusiasm for that simple thing, that immediately there's a festival, and part of the festival is song. And the song, it would be, the music would be appropriate because it would be the appropriate melody and the appropriate meaning for the particular activity. So here, this is festival. And what's the festival? The very, very sweet, beautiful Krishna is walking into their town. Had an interesting thing today with an old friend. His name was Vasudev, joined in 1978, a French person. And his guru left, and he began to search and explore in so many different ways. And, you know, because he wanted the truth and some doubts arose. And he told me, it was very nice, that he began to study about Lord Chaitanya. And he went to Calcutta and he studied this one professor, S.K. Day, who wrote the early history of Bengal Vaishnavism. And it describes Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu as a very exalted person, etc. But it demystifies, in a scholarly way, almost, in a convincing way, that, that there's divinity in Lord Chaitanya, or at least it tries to do it, downplaying the miracles and, so many of the things like that that are found in hagiography. When you glorify someone, when followers write the biography, the scholars say, it tends to be a little bit exaggerated. But he had a very nice experience that, he said that rather than remove his faith, I'm not saying that there are no miracles in Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, I'm just giving you his example. But although, and rather than diminish his faith, it actually increased his faith, because his appreciation of Lord Chaitanya was not dependent on his opulence. His appreciation of Lord Chaitanya was dependent on his ecstasies and his sweetness and his bhav and the wonderful mood. And that really convinced him of Lord Chaitanya's divinity. Because he was just so, even without Aishwarya, without opulence, he was just so attracted to the sweetness of Lord Chaitanya. As we read, his love, which is at the highest degree, and his life of love, and his life of ecstasy, and that was his appreciation. So here, Krishna is coming over the roads, and it's sweetness personified, the greatest festival. And these inhabitants of Dwarka, although they were accustomed to looking upon Krishna, nityam, regularly, always, nirikshamananam, as they looked at him with their eyes regularly, always. And he was the Shio Samangam, he was the Dhamma, the reservoir, the bodily reservoir of what? Shriya, of beauty. But they never became satiated. And that's the nature of, as Papa discusses, a spiritual phenomenon. If there is a God, then his potencies are unlimited. And therefore, his beauty is always increasing. It's not static. And therefore there's a phenomenon in the spiritual world, which is described by the Rasacharyas, that seeing Krishna is apurvita. Purvita means before, apurvita never before. Every time one sees Krishna, it's fresh, it's never before. Because why should his happiness be limited? If there's a phenomenon of an absolute reality who has no limits, why should his happiness be limited? And if his happiness is not limited, then why should his beauty be limited? And therefore we have this wonderful scene in the Chaitanya Charitamrita, this description of when Radharani, and I was describing this in terms of the Chaitanya Charitamrita, of the descriptions of the height of Radha and Krishna. It's almost described as emerging, but it's such a focus of love between them. And what happens is Radharani is focused on Krishna, and Krishna is focused on Radharani. And when Krishna is looking at Radharani, she gets so much joy because she is Mahabhav Swarup. She is the embodiment of the highest love. So her existence is for the pleasure of Krishna. And therefore, everything about her has the full capacity to do so. So her qualities and her beauty have the full capacity. It's a very reasonable conception of the absolute reality. And full capacity to please Krishna. How wonderful. And Krishna gets pleased. And when he gets pleased, he becomes very, very happy. And when he becomes very, very happy, happiness enhances beauty. That's why people smile. They want to look more beautiful. So it's a principle that happiness enhances beauty. And therefore, because Radharani has the full capacity to love Krishna, and she loves Krishna, so when she sees Krishna happy and more beautiful, her happiness increases, and as happiness enhances beauty, her beauty increases. And therefore, there's this unlimited dynamic. And therefore, the principle in the spiritual world is things become more and more and more and more relishable. There's that dynamic. And therefore, you can never be satiated. You can never be satiated because it's always more. And the anandam buddhi vardhanam. It's ever increasing. So that's also described here with the inhabitants of Dwarka. They're looking on this reservoir of beauty, but it's constantly expanding. And they're never satiated. And that's the contrast to the material realm, where what you are enjoying is not real. And if something's not real, it can't give ultimate satisfaction. Just like a dream, there's some type of thrill involved. But it's vicarious. It's not constitutional. And therefore, in material, because it's not real, what's real? What's real is God and God's energies. The body is a configuration of matter. It's not actually a person. And it's constantly changing. So it's not satisfying. And therefore, material pleasure has a lot to do with the expectation and not the moment. It's mental. There's an expectation. There's a promise that this will be satisfied. But it doesn't actually connect with the soul when you get material happiness. And therefore, it diminishes. It diminishes. The more you experience it, the more you realize that it's not ultimately satisfied. And therefore, the greatest attraction is the stage of expectation. There's such a contrast here, and so we're getting the resonance. Somehow or other, we broke through today, and the person who was cooking in the kitchen with the baby microphone in the room with the kid, somehow or other, we worked through that. I'm going to stop now for questions. That's about all I could break through today. So does anybody have any questions?
Hare Krishna, Maharaj.
I will. Nanda Dula. Hare Krishna. Thank you. Yes.
Maharaj, could you please tell us the importance of Bhishma Panchak? I know last year you told.
The importance of what?
Bhishma Panchak.
You mean these last 5 days?
Yes.
Well, you know, I'm really a big fan of not so much mysticism, but of practicality. And there is mysticism involved. There is special benefits involved. But the real benefit is absorbing your mind in Krishna. And the last 5 days of Kartik, it's like a finishing kick. And people increase their vows and their austerities. But I guess the idea between, I think it's Bhishma Panchika, the last 5 days, is the story was that Bhishma was such a voracious eater and he was such a kshatriya or something that he couldn't fast. So the benediction was given by Krishna just the last 5 days.
Okay.
So, and there are, but I have to say something about the mysticism of Kartik and Vrindavan. You know, when I do Kartik properly and I make those vows, I think Bhaktivinoda Thakur says that sometimes you don't realize them till you're finished, but you actually get something. And you get something from two platforms. The first platform you get something is that you have endeavored to increase your devotion. And the second way that you get it is Krishna is responsive and he actually gives something in the heart. And that's our philosophy. Esham satatiyatanam bhajatam prithipurvakam tadami buddhi yogam tvam yenama. The one who worships me with faith and devotion, I give. So Krishna is actually giving us something for our austerities. He responds. This is the personal nature of the Absolute Truth. I remember I once went to visit a sadhu, and he wasn't there, and I went by some transportation that was called, we used to ride in these temples, and he very austere. But when I finally saw him, he found out how the difficulty I went, he said, oh, because you perform so much austerity, I must give you something. So Krishna's response, just look at an ordinary, when you do something for someone, they become pleased. And the nature of personality is they become pleased and reciprocal. And they want to do something for you. So the last 5 days of Kartik, it's an opportunity to, to either do something extra, or if you haven't been doing something, to start. And I myself, because it was a little distracting this Kartik, I feel a little bit relieved. Tomorrow I'll go to the Radhakund side, and you know I'll chant a lot more rounds than I usually do. And make advancement. Okay, thank you, Nanda Dilal. Any other questions?
Thank you, Maharaj.
Hare Krishna, Maharaj. This is Gail.
Hi, Bo, Gail.
Yeah, in the very beginning of the class, you were reading where it said that, the deity form cannot be seen with material eyes, you know, and you know Krishna, out of compassion for us, he comes in that deity form, so that although we have material vision, we can see him. So, I
don't know if I said that, but I it seems to be the philosophy that. Perception is not just a matter of the senses, it's a matter of consciousness. And if you just look through the senses, you may see something material. Even if you say, well, he's appeared in a particular way, but there's also a perception and some understanding. If someone doesn't have any understanding, any sentiment, and just relies on his senses, what will they see? They'll just see an idol or a piece of stone. So there's some level, and that's why it explains that this is Krishna's form, etc. But the deeper that one actually purifies his mind, he'll actually see Krishna. He'll actually see Krishna, non-different from Krishna. So the understanding may be there, and there may be some perception, but it's actually Krishna. It's non-different, and Krishna will manifest there fully. And if there's, I just, the story I remember is when I was inviting my old sadhu to the disappearance day of Prabhupada, and he was very humble, he wanted to speak, and I said, well, you know, you live with, you know, Prabhupada, you knew Prabhupada, you saw Prabhupada. And then he said to me, I didn't see Prabhupada. He said, just like if you're before the deity, and you're talking to your friends, right, and just joking in the temple, are you seeing the deity? In the same way, I didn't see Prabhupada. So there's always some element of consciousness necessary for perception.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Okay. Anybody else?
Hare Krishna Maharaj?
Yes.
Savitri?
Hare Krishna. Thank you.
Maharaj, how can we get your book, Japa Meditation?
How can you get my book, Japa Meditations? When you come to India, you can buy a copy. But thank you for reminding me. I'm going to ship it to America and will arrive in a month. What I decided to do, rather than immediately start distributing it in America, I'm going to have a book signing, probably, I haven't asked him yet, but probably at Gopi Shores and one at Amia's in New York. And I'll have two programs when I get back on different Saturdays for people in Jersey and New York. And I'll have a book signing. So if I send them now, they'll, I guess, arrive in a couple of weeks or a month. But I'm going to wait in America. But if someone comes to India, they can get the book. So when you come here, you can get the book. And you can have an exclusive copy. Okay?
When you are coming here?
I think my ticket back is March 4th.
Oh, I see.
Okay? And people are appreciating the book. Govinda of Chopati, he just came and immediately he heard about the book. He took a whole box.
Oh, we need.
And distributed it. And then, next thing I know, they had 4,000 people. You have to see what a tent for 4,000 people looks like. But it was amazing. They had this whole altar built. But anyway, Radha Gopinath, who's one of the main brahmacharis there, the next morning in class, he quoted from my book how nice it was and what he liked, and he gave some things, and that just so many people wanted the book. Okay? Thank you. Hare Krishna.
Thank you.
Who is that? Okay. Anybody else like to say Hare Krishna?
Hare Krishna Maharaj. Please accept my humble obeisances.
I will.
I always love to hear you talk about your experience right there at Govardhan in Vrindavan. It's so inspirational for us here to hear you speak of your experience there.
Well, thank you, and
it's a wonderful. It transports us there, sort of, for a little while.
Thank you. Well, then you can, as you're retiring, you can share the experience.
Oh yes, I'm looking forward to it.
There's actually, just as this is a monastery, there's also a ladies. I wouldn't call it nunnery, but there's a ladies' ashram in Vrindavan that's very, very nice. And I introduced you to
the
person who is in charge, Vishaka Priya. So if you plan on going, you know, you could, you know, cause, and right now, initially no one was coming. They're a little selective because they want to make sure the right people come. But it'd be a great place to stay, and they have nice programs at lectures in the evening sometimes. So, okay, thank you. Hare Krishna. Anybody else like to say Hare Krishna?
Hare Krishna Maharaj, this is Rasikya calling.
Hello.
Ditto to what the other one said, I always feel when you're in Vrindavan, there's even more potency coming through you, and I feel like I'm right there.
Well, that encourages me.
Yeah, and I even think of the smells of Vrindavan and everything.
Wow.
It's very, very special, and I want to thank you so much for that.
Thank you. It's really interesting now. I mean, I was just yesterday, I get this call from Ter Kadamba Baba. I don't even know he had a phone. The sadhu in the middle of, you know, where we went?
Yeah.
He just calls me on the phone, you know? This is Ter Kadamba Baba, and he said that the Ras Mangalbar, where he was making, he was getting all different colored marble cows is complete, and when am I coming? And they have Gopastami there, and Gopastami means, I'm going to walk downstairs now because I don't want to miss my evening here. But Gopastami means that, hear what's going on outside here too. It's wedding season. Gopastami means that all the cows of Nandagram come to Ter Kadamba because that's where Krishna had his Goshala.
Oh, wow.
So he called me up and said it was great and that, you know, you should come and we have prasadam. And okay. I'm going to stop now. Anybody else like to say Hare Krishna? Okay. Anybody else like to say Hare Krishna? Okay, we'll end now for today. But thank you all for coming. Thank you.